Okay, so the message today that the Lord put on my heart to share with you, to preach today, is called The Good Confession. And it's taken from the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And so just take your Bibles and look at your notes. The notes are coming out now. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. And if you've been a Christian a while, and even if you haven't been a Christian at all, you've heard of this word confession. In church traditions, Catholic church tradition, it's a very specific practice. But as Christians, we all know about confession and the importance of confession, and in our culture as well, your confession is very, very important. And it will be in the courts. It's very strong in the courts, but it's also very strong in our culture in certain other situations. Like, for example, we have a citizen. If you come to this country and you immigrate to this country, there will come a time after you apply for citizenship and you go through whatever the things that you have to do, that you'll have to make an oath. Birgit, I think, had to do that. And she had to make a good confession, so to speak. She had to make a confession and swear her allegiance. So, and every day in schools, when we pledge allegiance to the flag, we are making a confession. We are making a confession. I pledge allegiance. When you pledge something to the flag of the United States of America. So, this concept of confession, we see in citizenship. We also see it in the Pledge of Allegiance. We see that in courts. And then last but not least, I want to call your attention to the pledge that is made in a wedding ceremony. That is something that we do at a wedding. And we had the blessing of doing a wedding. And we get to do this wedding twice because of the pandemic. So we did the wedding already on April 4th, and we've got this lovely couple in our church that's going to get married again so that everybody else could be with them. And Paul says here in 1 Timothy 6, he said, verse 11, he said, "Flee things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called about, which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And so this couple that's doing a wedding, they want to make their good confession in the presence of many witnesses. They couldn't really do that legally in Virginia. To do it, you have to have at least one witness. And we had that. We had parents, two sets of parents, and the photographer, and their assistant, and then me, and that was it. So, but they want to do it again in the presence of many witnesses. And Paul is talking about Timothy, and he's talking about this concept or this practice of the church called the Great Confession. So they called it, Paul called it the Great Confession. And he says, "I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate," who made the great confession here? Jesus. "In front of Pontius Pilate, in the presence of many witnesses, Jesus made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time." And then Paul breaks out into worship here, right? He's worshiping God. He goes, "He who is blessed and only sovereign. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality. He dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Amen. So here you have this great confession. So Paul is encouraging Timothy, make a great, good confession. And then he also said, Jesus made this good confession. So we talked about making that marriage confession. So what do we do? That marriage confession, what does it do? It says that I will do this. I will do this. I will pledge myself to you. It's just you and me, husband and wife. We are pledged together. And it defines what you do for one another. Praise God. Steve's breaking out into a praise dance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yay. Glory. Glory. That was good. Amen. Thank you, brother. Good praise. And the thing about marriage is that it answers the question, who are you really committed to? It's a commitment statement. Now, a lot of times when we hear the word confession in church, we use that word in more of a faith thing, like, you know, like believing God for a miracle. But Paul is talking about the kind of confession that is a commitment, like a marriage, like I'm committed to you. And it's a, you know, citizenship, marriage, pledge of allegiance, faith or loyalty. Now, who do we make our great confession to? Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue, here it is, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Come on, that's all right. You honk for Jesus. Jesus is Lord. That's the great confession, the good confession that Paul's talking about. Philippians chapter 2, the good confession. Now, let's look at Jesus when he made the good confession. So look at Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to look at verse 11, Matthew 27, verse 11. And we have Jesus stood before the governor. The governor asked him, here is the question, just like, again, a wedding ceremony. Will you? I will. Yes, I do. And here's the question. Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, you have said so. You have said so. Now, that's interesting. Why didn't Jesus just simply say, yes, I am the king of the Jews? He didn't do it, did he? He said, you have said so. Now, you got to hear me on this. This is important. I want you to get this concept. I want you to see Jesus before Pilate like a picture of us standing before the King of Kings. Think of it this way. Don't think of Pilate as a bad guy right now. Think of Pilate representing the king. And if you and I are standing in Jesus' place, and that king makes a statement about or a question about who we are we simply going to say to that king, oh, of course I am? No. We are going to agree with what the king says about us. Because if he says it about us, then we can live that way. You hear what I'm saying? That's who we are. That is who you are. Now, so I want you to see this. Are you the king of the Jews? I confess. Now, the word confess means to agree with or to say the same thing as. So Jesus was making a confession by saying to Pilate, yes, you have declared me as king. I am in agreement with that. So he was making a confession there. He was agreeing with a statement made about him. But then Pilate went on. He said he was accused by the chief priests and elders. He gave no answer. So when the king speaks to Jesus, he agrees with the king. But when the accusers who are standing there bring accusation, he says nothing. Do you see the principle here? The good confession means you confess or agree with or commit with the, what the king says about you, but also the good confession also means you are silent when the accuser speaks of your sins in the courts of the king. Amen. This is powerful. We confess you have said so. Confessing Jesus as Lord by the Holy Spirit. We cannot confess Jesus as Lord. 1 Corinthians 12 says that. Paul said no one can confess Jesus as Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So we can't even confess Jesus as Lord without agreeing with what the Holy Spirit has said. If it wasn't for God, we would not have ever accepted Christ. I could have never accepted Christ without him making it possible. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. You may think you have, but the Holy Spirit has to come inside of you. The Holy Spirit has to move you. Even Jesus wouldn't declare himself. He had to agree with the confession. He set the example for us. Okay? So, what do we confess? We confess the Word of God in his mind, his thought. We confess what he says, and we confess what he does, his testimony. And we don't answer when we are accused. Why? Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. See, we don't even talk when accusations come because we stand on the forgiveness of Jesus' blood in the throne room. And what did Pilate say afterwards? When Jesus did not answer his accusers, he said, I find no guilt in him. Now, I want you to hear me. So what does the king say to you today? Let's apply this scripture as if we were there standing with Jesus. Number one, are you a son of God? Yes, I agree with you. You have said so, Lord. I declare agreement. I confess what you have declared about me. I refuse to answer accusation. And number three, I receive the fact that you have declared, I find no guilt in you. No guilt. The king has declared, come on now, you are not guilty. You do not have to live with guilt because of Jesus' blood. If you confess our sins, the Bible says, if we, in the book of 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we confess. What are we saying when we confess our sins? We are not so much coming out of our own. We're not making up what our sins are, right? What are we doing? We're coming into agreement with what the King of Kings says about our sins. We are coming into agreement. In other words, I want you to hear me on this. We don't confess out of our own heart. We confess just like Jesus said, you have said so. You have said so. What does God say about your sins? They are gone. Yes, I was lost, but now I'm found. Amen? Wow. The Bible says that we suffer the loss of all things that we may gain. Paul said, I suffer the loss of everything that I might gain. Everything. The one who died for me. Philippians. And I want you to hear me on this. This is important. Even though Jesus was declared innocent, he still carried his cross. And I say this to you today, wherever you are, even though you have been declared a son of God, even though you've been declared innocent, you still have to carry your cross. You still have to carry your cross. Just as Jesus carried the cross for the salvation of the world, so you carry your cross in obedience to the will of God. We carry our cross by saying, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do, even if I have to suffer to do it. Come on. Sometimes God will ask you to do hard things. And I don't want to go. I could go down that road for a long time of all the people, godly people who changed the world, that carried their cross and had to suffer some things because of their obedience to God. And they were innocent. They were declared innocent by the King of Kings, yet they carried their cross. And hear me on this. We carry our cross with the expectation that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We carry our cross with the expectation that it's only 3 days in the grave, that one day we're going to rise again. We live in expectation of resurrection. So the suffering is for just a little while. And there are times when God will call you to do the right thing and do the obedient thing and carry your cross, even though it's tough. Now, the great confession does not change. Isaiah 45, 23, I want to give you the scriptural background of this beautiful passage about every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Isaiah 45, 23 says, by myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. When we make the good confession, it never changes. We need to abide in that good confession. When you make it for Jesus, when you say, Lord, you are my Lord, I confess the name of Jesus Christ, that confession will change your life. And that confession will carry you all the way into eternity. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Amen. Romans 14, verse 10 says, for we will all stand. This confession will take you to the judgment seat of Christ. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess. Confess to God. So that good confession that you make when you give your life to Jesus, that good confession will carry you all the way to the day in eternity when you confess Jesus' name before the judgment seat of God. And everyone will have to appear before the judgment seat of God. So we need to make that confession now before it's too late. We need to make that judgment. We need to make that confession before it's too late. Make the good confession. Now, that confession, here's another, the same passage in same situation where Jesus was before the king Pilate in John 18, verse 37. Pilate questioned. He said, so you're a king. And Jesus said, you say, there's the confession or agreement with the king. You say that I'm a king. All right, so he's agreeing with the authority over him. But then he starts to speak about purpose. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come in this world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? So when we make good confession, we step into God's purpose for our lives. We confess that when we align ourselves with what God says about us, it aligns our purpose with God's will, the cross. When we bear witness, we confess with what we say, but we also do what we say. So we can see who's truly saved. If someone just says, oh, I said Jesus is Lord, but they don't serve God, they don't have a purpose of God in their life, then they may have never made the good confession. They may have just said some words that someone told them to say. And we don't ever want to be there, guys. We don't ever want to just do a quick, like, repeat after me. No, we need to say our confession like we're saying our wedding vows. We need to say our confession like we said our citizenship. It's something that changes your entire life. Now, Pilate, because he didn't know the truth, he resorted to customs. And I can pretty much say that if you don't have God's purpose in your life, all you know is customs. And your customs were taught to you by your mom and dad. Your customs were taught to you about the people who lived around you and where you grew up, whether it's in Switzerland or whether it's in Southwest Virginia, or what family, what part of town you are in Martinsville. You can see customs different everywhere you go. Pilate said, you have a custom. That's all he could do because he didn't know truth. But if you know Jesus, you know truth. You see, God wants to transform us with our confession to deliver us from being conformed to culture. I am so glad that I am not conformed to culture. I mean, I can give you a little personal testimony. God called me to Virginia when I was very young, and I was a New Yorker. And I want you to know something about New York. If you don't know it already, New Yorkers are very sarcastic. And God, that's my culture. That was part of my culture. God had to deal with my sarcasm. He wanted to get my culture out of me. And there was other parts of my culture when I had the great confession, the good confession. But that's one thing that I always think about. Down here, it's a different culture, and I wanted to have the culture of heaven. I want the culture of heaven. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I don't want to just be a slave to my culture if it grieves the Holy Spirit. Always putting people down and making harsh remarks about them. I'm not saying all New Yorkers do this, but maybe some of us do. But God wants to deliver us from our culture. Now, I want to say one more thing. We're going to conclude with amen. One thing I learned when I got saved and when I got filled with the Spirit and when I made the good confession, in the church I used to go to, we didn't say amen a whole lot. We said amen. And we only said amen at the end of a prayer or when we were doing a particular part of the service that was written out for us. But one thing I love about our church here is that we say amen a whole lot. Amen. Thank you. Or honk. Amen. And I want to talk to you about amen. It's not just a culture or custom to say amen here. It means something in the scripture. And I thank God for the men and women of God that somehow taught that concept in the scripture to the Christians. And it became a part of practice down here. And I want to show you the revelation that Paul has about amen. And it's found, actually, it's the Apostle John who wrote the book of Revelation. But he said this, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea, that's Revelation 3:14, the words of the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Jesus called himself the amen. Amen. He called himself the amen. He is the great or good confession. In other words, you can only say amen to something that has been declared, right? Amen means so be it. That's what it means. It's like affirming. It's like signing your name to a legal document. What you're saying is, I have read this document and I am confessing that I'm in agreement with this document, and then you put your signature on it, and that makes it official. So when you say amen in the presence of God, you are speaking the name of Jesus. Jesus himself did not speak of himself. He said, I only speak, right? What did he say? What the Father says. So he was amening the Father in him. And just as Jesus amened the king, Pontius Pilate, right? He said, you have said so. That's what amen means. You have said so. Just as Jesus amened the words of his Father in heaven when he preached, so we, 2 Corinthians 1:20, the promises of God, how many of the promises? All of the promises of God are there, amen, or yes, in him. That is why through Christ, through him, we utter our amen. Our amen for his to God, for his glory. So because Jesus was the amen, we can say amen to his amen. We can agree and we can confess that God is true. We can come into agreement or alignment or commitment to what God has said about us and what God says about anything. Now, that's a sense of faithful and true, a loyalty, duration. It endures over time. But I want you to see this one thing here. Jesus is the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation. So when you say amen, that's when God begins to create. The power of God starts with our amen. And when Jesus said amen, that's when God said, let there be light. Let there be light, and there was light. When Jesus said amen, the earth appeared. When Jesus said amen, he said that the land was formed. And when he said amen, the earth was split wide open. He rose from the grave. So our amen actually is the releasing of the power of God. God is waiting for us to come into alignment with him. Because when you stop asking questions, that's when you start getting the answers. You know, you could be asking questions forever, and someone's trying to tell you the answer, but you're not quiet long enough to hear it. Amen puts you at peace, and he shuts your mouth long enough to hear what God is saying. Amen? We've got nothing to say but amen in a lot of ways. And I want to bring it back to the wedding. In a wedding, after the pronouncement, that's when the preacher or the king, so to speak, the government official says, they make the pronouncement, you are now a man and wife. Well, they've already made their good confession, right? But then the preacher or the government official, or we call that the authority, makes the pronouncement. They finish it with a kiss. So the wedding kiss is the amen to their confession. And that's how God wants us to see our relationship with him. It says that we seal it with a kiss. Instead of a signature. Thank God we don't have to do real estate with kisses, right, Birgit? But with Jesus, with Jesus, we seal our confession with a kiss. So my question to you today is, will you kiss the Son? Will you make the good confession? Will you kiss Jesus? Will you say amen to Jesus? Amen? Amen? Amen. That's a life of love. A life of love sealed with a kiss. So, Father, we bless our friends. We bless those that are watching this. We bless those that are here. We pray that they will be saying amen in a way that they have never said it before. And that they will be kissing God as they confess their amen with the great amen. God bless you. God bless you and happy Mother's Day. Kiss your mama today. Kiss your mom today. Amen. God bless you.